But what we were about to talk about is obviously what's going on right now, okay, as we speak, and how there is a script, okay, a script that no, the pandemic treaty would not give WHO control over governments during a global health crisis. And again, you can't help but laugh when you pull off the jackassery like that one, but that's okay. We'll cut it everywhere, maybe even cut it on Rockfin and re-upload it afterwards, because it was just some Johnny nonsense. So they've already got the fact check for you, and I want to point something out. These are the same people that put out fact checks like, oh yeah, no, there's no, did they already take that down? Where was it? Yeah, here it is. Pandemic does treaty. Why did that happen? I had it where, right there it is. The U.S. was not funding biolabs in Ukraine. So ABC 10 is really part of this national propaganda network that wants you to totally accept tyranny. Okay, so let's just play this. Let's kick this one off.
On May 22nd, the World Health Organization will meet in Geneva to discuss how to best respond to future pandemics. Among the ideas is a U.S. proposed amendment to improve ways of...
Every time with this. It doesn't want to tell me, you know, about their tyranny.
The World Health Organization will meet in Geneva to discuss how to best respond to future pandemics. Among the ideas is a U.S. proposed amendment to improve ways of...
It's unbelievable. You think, guys, what a show so far, huh? Maybe my best show ever. You know, I was really going to harp on the fact that, you know, these guys were signing treaties with pedophiles. Okay, this is a rather new scandal. This isn't the first time that the UN has been caught up in, you know, sex with children. And this is what kills me. You look at this. It says sex abuse during Ebola crisis. No, they're raping kids. I mean, you get down here. Okay, it's buried in the article. You actually have to read it. One girl, a 14-year-old named Jolianne, how old was she when this was happening? Told the commission she was selling phone recharge cards on the side of the road in April 2019. Okay, so she's 14 and a 21. So this is, she's a 12-year-old girl when this is happening? When a WHO driver offered her a ride home. Instead, he took to her a hotel where he raped her. And she gave birth to his child. Yeah, a lot of rape, a lot of unborn children. These are the people we want to put in charge. Okay? And remember, they're just a vehicle, a modus operandi of this, just like Davos is now. And they're all illegitimate and unelected. And that's why I want out of the UN and the UN out of my country. And I want the WHO as far away from us as possible. And, you know, not give these people any more powers. We're going to try it one more time. One more time. Can we just get the video of their propaganda to tell you how great they are? Because they love you. These people obviously love you. We've seen how they acted during the quote-unquote pandemic, where they wanted to lock you down, close your business, not give you cheap medicine that works, right? Instead of, you know, giving you big pharma nonsense.
The World Health Organization will meet in Geneva to discuss how to best respond to future pandemics. Among the ideas is a U.S. proposed amendment to improve ways of detecting, reporting, and responding to public health events worldwide. Some social media users are...
You know, it's almost laughable that this is happening, that you can't even get their full line of propaganda. That, you know, we want to stop the treaty. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it. All right, do I have to read it myself? Oh, of course, they're coming after Steve Bannon and Michelle Bachmann. Look, those guys are lukewarm at best. Okay? Well, can we? Oh, here we go. YouTube, there we are. Thank goodness.
On May 22nd, the World Health Organization will meet in Geneva to discuss how to best respond to future pandemics. Among the ideas is a U.S. proposed amendment to improve ways of detecting, reporting, and responding to public health events worldwide. Some social media users are referring to this as a pandemic treaty and are using the hashtag #StopTheTreaty to voice their opposition to the amendment. On a podcast hosted by Steve Bannon, former Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann claimed the amendment could give the WHO control over the United States. Several Verify viewers emailed us to ask about these claims. So, let's verify. Would the pandemic treaty give the WHO control over governments during a global health crisis? Our sources are the International Health Regulations, proposed amendments to the regulations and the WHO. The international health regulations are part of an international law that outlines the responsibilities of WHO member countries, like the U.S., when there's a public health emergency. It requires that countries report what's happening and that the WHO offer assistance.
I don't want their assistance. Well, I want out. I want out. I want out. I want out.
Earlier this year, the U.S. proposed several amendments to the regulations based on what we learned during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Wait, listen. I mean, these people are revolting. I know you got to make a paycheck, bro. You're disgusting. What we learned? We learned that they censored anybody who told a modicum of truth. I got kicked off of YouTube again. Again, for just saying that vector-based, okay, and mRNA-based shots are bio-nanotech. That's it. I didn't say anything else. Oh, they didn't like the context I said it in. Oh, I'm not allowed to talk about those things. It's unreal. That's what we learned. We learned that with impunity, the medical system, once again, will cull the population, just like the Department of Hygiene did during the Nazi regime. That's what we learned.
They include adding early warning criteria, a request to provide genetic sequence data.
Genetic sequence data. Oh, yeah. Early warning criteria. Like these guys, I mean, they're unreal.
And outlines a time frame for when and how countries can ask the WHO for support. It does not give the WHO authority over member countries. The amendment repeatedly states that countries can reject the WHO's assistance. So, no, the pandemic treaty would not give the WHO control over governments during a global health crisis.
So again, our government just has to accept it, that they want help, and then this fact check is completely false. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable that anybody would fall for this. But again, I mean, we live in the upside down.
It doesn't give the agency any new authority and only outlines how they can help at the request of a member country.
The request. See, because so many of the people in the United States and Australia and Canada were requesting to be locked down. We were requesting to have our children tortured with masks. We were requesting that they shove a Q-tip up your nose and into your brain to test you. We were requesting that we had to do all these things to get on a flight. We were requesting the slave passports. We're just requesting. It's just a request. It's unbelievable, but so believable, because this is what we're up against. I mean, this guy should be ashamed of himself. I don't know how these people look at themselves in the mirror, especially when they have no idea. This guy didn't read this treaty. He doesn't know what the WHO is. He hasn't come to grips with the fact that they refused real treatment for people. Real treatments for people. Refused them. Out and out. All right? That they used every single use of force to lie to everybody. That they are still injecting children and giving people boosters. This dude's gross. He's gross, man. You're gross. So I wanted to do this. I wanted to play some Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Kind of take you along with G. Edward Griffin on how this worked. How they revved everybody up after World War II for United Nations through the vehicles of what? The Council on Foreign Relations and Roundtable Groups. Now, it's going to be a pretty lengthy segment, but this is a 2+ hour movie, and you can watch it free here if you're watching on Rumble. Obviously, it's over on Rockfin, and somehow, some way, it's still on YouTube as well.
In all of the British dependencies, these organizations, the front groups, were called the Royal Institute for International Affairs. In the United States, they chose a different name. They chose the Council on Foreign Relations, but it held exactly the same relationship to this inner society of Cecil Rhodes.
Among the charter members were W. Averill Harriman of Union Banking, then President of the United States Woodrow Wilson's main advisor, Colonel Edward Mendel House, John D. Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil, banking mogul J.P. Morgan, and prominent bankster Paul Warburg.
Well, the Council on Foreign Relations exists today. It's probably the most powerful single organization in America. Many observers, including myself, believe that it is the hidden government of the United States. These people are not elected to office, and most Americans don't even know who they are. But they are holding all of the important positions in society. There are only about 4,000 of them in the United States, but I don't care what organization you want to look at, whether it's government, or whether it's universities, or the large media centers, or whatever it is, you look at the people at the tops of those organizations, the owners, the managers, the CEOs, the board of directors, and I'm going to say probably 80 to 90% of the great power centers of America are dominated by just those 4,000 people who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Throughout its history, it would contain extremely influential and powerful individuals in finance, business, media, and politics. Former presidents of the United States include Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and William Jefferson Clinton. Currently, Barack Obama claims not to be a member, but has spoken in front of the council and has had his writings published in the council's magazine, Foreign Affairs.
It's been reported that you and your wife are in the globalist CFR, which is a Council on Foreign Relations. I'd like to know if that is true.
Well, first of all, I'm not the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't know if I'm a official member. I've spoken there before. It basically is just a forum where a bunch of people talk about foreign policy. And so there's nothing, there's no official membership. I don't have a card or, you know, a special handshake or anything like that.
Now, why is that important? It's important because the avowed purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is to create a new world order, a global government based on the model of collectivism. And that includes the elimination of the United States as a sovereign nation. That's why it's important. The people running this country are determined to destroy it.
The council was heavily criticized during the 1980s for being an organization hell-bent on destroying national sovereignty in favor of a world government. So many of its members hid their association with the organization. Dick Cheney had this to say in response to a question by David Rockefeller, who became the CFR's youngest director in 1949 and was chairman of the board from 1970 to 1985. He remains an honorary chairman to this day.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Now, you are the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, all right?
Yes, sir.
You guys toy with the countries of the world like toys, don't you? You're like the Illuminati, you're the Masons, you control everything, don't you? That's the rap on you guys.
What's so interesting now, though, is who's on the chessboard. It's the toys, if you will, are a lot more than states.
Notice that Mr. Haas does not deny that the CFR has massive control over the geopolitical arena, and instead tries to focus on the separate entities outside of nation states. Current Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also reveals the importance of the CFR here.
But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
So I muted myself again. I mean, this video is just going great, guys. Let me tell you, one of my top ones. I need to clean it up. Here's the deal. I was talking about Richard Haas there and how Haas was actually the person who was next to Joe Biden while he was joking about $1 billion, withholding it from the Ukraine, and having prosecutors fired over old Hunter. Okay? Yep, I'm derping it today, guys. Again, not my best video. Not my best video. But that's okay. We're going to continue on. We're going to push through this one.
You have these private groups that are run and created by the elite, by the ultra-rich, wealthy families that have been manipulating global markets from behind the scenes for generations. They create these private groups that then feed information to the government, to senators, to congressmen, their recommendations, their policy papers, what they think should happen. And it's fascinating because if you actually read what it is that they're doing, the recommendations that they make, they're very able to get them put in place. Discussions that are going on in these private groups are really talks that should be going on in Senate committees and in the halls of Congress, but they're happening with these ultra elite groups that are then pushing their propaganda into the political mainstream, and then it's becoming enacted, it's becoming put into law.
Still not convinced the CFR is promoting a new world order? Listen to what Leslie Gelb had to say upon leaving the New York Times to chair the organization as its president in 1993.
I loved it. Doing a column is a great job. I'm going to an equally great but different job, and in a way a job that caps everything I've been doing in my life, in government and academia and in journalism. I think that's what the Council on Foreign Relations will allow me to do. Well, you know, for example, you had me and three or four other folks on this show a few months ago to talk about the New World Order, right?
Exactly.
Right?
I
talk about it all the time.
New World Order wants a global system where one small central authority of individuals can then dictate a policy that's going to be distributed down to the rest of the world, everywhere, in the smallest little town in the middle of nowhere in some remote country.
I now think it's safe to say that the Council is extremely influential on the world stage and openly promote global governance. The Council and the globalists were able to take this agenda to the next level following World War II. The United Nations was born out of the ashes of this conflict. Unlike the League of Nations, the United States not only joined this organization, they championed it.
First book I wrote was The Fearful Master, A Second Look at the United Nations. It was written at a time when it was not popular to be critical of the UN. I mean, the United Nations was viewed by almost everybody as our last best hope for peace. It was a means, we were told, to bring humanity together and put an end to war and live in peace and harmony and promote trade and all of these good things. I wish it were any of those things, but it's not.
The original charter for the United Nations was drafted in San Francisco in 1945. And the United States became a permanent member of the Security Council, along with France, the United Kingdom, the Soviet Union, and the Republic of China. The process by which other nations' belief systems could be used to erode and eviscerate our Constitution and Bill of Rights had taken a giant leap forward.
The United Nations is one of the most well-known sort of globalization attempts. Its primary goal is to streamline all the governments of the world, to create a global council, and to unify all the rules and all the regulations for the world. So it's essentially the precursor and an engine of this new world order.
The United Nations is made up of all of the countries of the world, most of which are dictatorships of one kind or another. And you don't take a bunch of dictatorships and put them into a bag and shake it up and come out with a freedom-loving governmental unit. You come out with a global dictatorship.
This was the public face of global governance. However, many other organizations have been birthed since.
So I get into that later on, but now since it's the United Nations, it's the World Health Organization, and it's Davos that are these outward vehicles, now is the time to say no, no, no. I mean, that fact check is so weak. Guys, I'm so sorry about the amateur hour broadcast out there. Because of that, I'll probably do another video tonight. I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but there's actually some dark stories of child trafficking and Hollyweird prosecutions and sentencing that we'll probably end up doing. If you want to see my work uncensored, right now it's over at the Rockfin. It's the best place to do it. Yes, we are on Rumble, but we're rumbling and we're making some mistakes over there. Already. You can see all my documentary films here for free. Everybody can check them out for free, still on YouTube for as long as I'm there. I do want to remind people, like right now, we're live streaming on Podbean. Let's see, is there any beaners out there? Did anyone call in? No callers on the bean, but that's okay. You can get it in audio format. We also post in video format. And right now, the Buy Me a Coffee is probably the best way to support me. We've really got to start taking off on that. But don't forget to check out Loose Change, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, and Shade the Motion Picture, and share them with everybody you know, because, again, now is the time. But the takeover has been going on for a very, very long, long time, and now they're showing their teeth. I love you guys. It's not about left or right. It's always about right and wrong. See you on the flip side.